Please go ahead and turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to look at verses 10 through 12 this morning. Proverbs 24, 10 through 12. This particular section of Proverbs is referred to as words of the wise. And God most likely inspired Solomon to write these words based on wise sayings that he'd been exposed to throughout his life. And in this passage, the Bible talks about the importance of being strong in the face of trouble. And Solomon tells us that if we basically fumble the ball when trouble comes, that proves that we're not very strong. And this passage talks about the importance of helping the oppressed and how when we refuse to do so, that God will see and he will repay. And so these words are indeed wise words to us as Christian. And this passage addresses the subject that the Lord has prompted my heart to preach about this morning. So let's read together Proverbs 24, 10 through 12. If you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. Rescue those being taken off to death and save those stumbling towards slaughter. If you say, but we didn't know about this, won't he who weighs hearts consider it? Won't he who protects your life know? Won't he repay a person according to his work? Today is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and in fact, it's the 40th anniversary of the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. And this morning, we join with thousands of other like-minded churches across America that uphold the sacredness of human life. And I realize that this topic is kind of a sensitive topic because of varying points of view. And because of this, I want you to understand, I don't mean for this sermon to be a political speech because I'm not a politician. I'll leave that to those guys. But, you know, the issue of the sanctity of human life is a real thing. And we as Christians, we need to know how to address it and how to respond to it. So therefore, this sermon today, this message today, is simply a sermon about what God's Word says about the precious gift of life. All life, from conception to death. And so this morning, I just want to share with you why I am pro-life. But first, I want us to look at, just real quickly, the current landscape when it comes to abortion. So we understand, as we look at the current landscape today, June 24th, 2022 was a historic day, right? It was the day that the Supreme Court ruled to overturn the constitutional right to abortion and return abortion legislation back to the states. And we know that since then, since that time, there's been 21 states in the United States that have either banned abortion or heavily restricted it. And because of this, praise the Lord, over 32,000 children have been saved since then. But listen, guys, there's more work to be done. We cannot just say, okay, we won. Everything's going to be fine now. Listen, this is when the real work begins. There's more work to be done. And despite the landmark decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, the driving factor for abortion is still there. It's still prevalent today. The Biden administration has vigorously pushed policies to promote funding abortion travel and using taxpayer funds for abortion education. The Food and Drug Administration has made chemical abortion drugs that are now responsible for up to 50% of abortions more accessible, despite there being really a high concern that these drugs can be detrimental to a woman's health. So this is kind of what's going on today. We've had some wins, and it's a definite win, and we can celebrate, and we should rejoice in what God is doing through this. But there's still work to be done at the state level. And so I just want you to know that we can celebrate, but there's still work to be done. So, all right, why am I pro-life? Why do I personally, and I know that many of you, why are we pro-life? Well, because God's word affirms life, amen? God's word affirms life. That's first and foremost. Listen, there are a lot of cultural issues that we are facing today all right? These hot button issues. Abortion is one of them. Marriage, you know, defining marriage is a thing. The LGBTQ stuff, all that. These are all hot button issues that we're facing today in our culture. There's many more than just that. But guys, when it comes to cultural issues, the things that we face, the things that we have discussions about with our coworkers and our families and our friends at school, these hot button issues, when it comes to these cultural issues, we need to think biblically. Amen? Because the Bible is our source of truth. Every cultural issue that we face today is mentioned in the Bible. Everything that we see today that we face in our culture is mentioned in the Bible. And as people of the Word, we need to look at the Word to help us navigate through. So why am I pro-life? It's because God's Word affirms life. Again, this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and the fact that we believe life is sacred comes from our belief that we are made in the image of God. And we're reminded of what the Bible says in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. So that tells us that all of us here today, every person that's ever been born in the past and every person that will ever be born in the future, every single person that walks the face of the earth has been made in the image and in the likeness of God. And so that tells us right there that life is sacred just because of that. Every life, every human life from conception until death should be protected and respected. And so the sanctity of human life means that human life is more sacred than the rest of creation, even animals. I'm not saying be cruel to animals, but we understand that the value of a life is more important than the value of an animal. And because life is sacred, God has placed a high value upon it. We all know the verse, Psalm 139, 13 and 14. Great verses that understand the value of human life. The psalmist says, for it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Maybe your version says fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. We as God creations are the work of God, and his works are wonderful, not something to be discarded or trashed or put kicked to the curb. We've been remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. And so when thinking about the sanctity of human life, we sometimes just tend to think of abortion. And certainly this applies to this issue, and we understand that. Because the unborn are the most vulnerable among us. In fact, this is a statistic that I shared with you a couple of years ago. Did you know that since the Supreme Court handed down its infamous Roe versus Wade decision in 1973, that's 51 years ago, that over 62 million lives have been destroyed legally in America. Someone added it up and found that the combined populations of the states of Georgia, Michigan, Virginia, Nebraska, Nevada, Iowa, South Dakota, Rhode Island, Arizona, Oregon, Kansas, Vermont, Massachusetts, Mississippi, and Alaska equals about 62 million people. That's 15 states worth of people wiped out in the name of the law and in the name of choice. When you put it in perspective, it's kind of sobering. But the sanctity of human life should motivate us to combat all forms of evil that are waged against human life. Things like euthanasia and violence, abuse, oppression, human trafficking, all other sorts of evil things are violations against the sacredness of life that God has placed upon human beings. All of these lives are valuable to God. All of these lives are worth fighting for. Every life is precious. And again, all humans All human beings are made in the image of God. All human life from conception until death should be cared for and protected. I think of individuals who work in nursing homes and how difficult that work is. And I've worked in healthcare situations like that before. When I was in college, I worked in a group home for mentally handicapped people. It was difficult. Some of these people could literally do nothing for themselves. And it was hard. It's hard work. It's difficult work. But I understood how valuable each person was in there. And so I did my best to care for them the best that I could. And even though it was difficult, and even though I had to do things that were unpleasant and deal with things that were unpleasant, I understood that these men and women were made in the image of God. And that's what motivated me to love them and care for them. Every life should be cared for and protected. Another reason that I'm pro-life is because what the Bible says, that we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. I mean, that's a big reason right there, right? One of the best reasons for upholding the sanctity of human life is what Jesus mentioned in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. The greatest commandments, right? The big two that you can encompass all the Ten Commandments into. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He said this commandment was the greatest, and the second was like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Not if you feel like it, or if it's appealing to you, or if you have time. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In these two commandments, Jesus tells us that our actions are to be motivated by our love for God and our love for others. That's where our actions should come from, our love for God and our love for other people. If we love God, guess what? We're going to care for His people. If we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're going to love His people. We're going to care for His people. And we'll see to the needs of those who are sick and elderly. We will protect others from harm, whether from abortion or human trafficking or from any other type of evil. Because we are called to care for and provide for all people, single moms who need our help. Love is the motivation behind upholding the sanctity of human life. And love should lead us to respond. So what should our response be to this? What can we do when it comes to issues of life? Well, number one is pray. I mean, it kind of goes without saying, and you think, well, there's more we can do than pray. Yeah, and we're going to get into that. But listen, that's the number one thing that we can do, is to pray. This is where the ultimate battle is won, guys, on our knees. Again, every person is made in the image of God. And listen, the Bible says that God is the father to the fatherless. The Bible says that God loves orphans and widows. In fact, he said that's what pure religion is, taking care of orphans and widows in their time of need. And so let's pray to God for our families, for our culture. Let's pray for political leaders and policymakers that their heart will be changed toward God's precious creation. Let's be a people of prayer. Sometimes we forget that we are supposed to pray for our leaders, but the Bible mandates that. Commands that we pray for those who govern us, even people that we don't agree with. And there's a lot of people I don't agree with, and I'm still called to pray for them, that their hearts would be open, that their eyes would be open, that they would make decisions based upon the Word of God. So let's pray. Let's be a people of prayer. Beyond that, our response should be to offer love and forgiveness. To offer love and forgiveness. You know, sometimes we fail to remember that there are two victims in an abortion, the baby and the mother. And we often forget about the pain that women often feel after making a decision like this. We often forget about men, too, who were possibly part of that decision. And so the decision of abortion can leave literal and emotional scars for years. And we as Christians, we've got to be ready to love people and to point them to Jesus who have made this choice, because Jesus offers hope and forgiveness and healing. We have to offer good news. Remember what the word gospel means? What does it mean? Good news, okay? We must convey to those who have chosen abortion, chosen to do these things, that whether they knew it was right or wrong at the time, that God loves them and desires to forgive them through His Son, Jesus. We have to help them understand that no sin is too big or horrible that God can't forgive. He can forgive all sin. He's a God of second chances. And there's no person that is so far from God that His arms can't reach, because God is all-powerful. He's everywhere. He's everything at one time, and so He forgives all sins. And so we have to tell people that Jesus loves them so much that He became one of us to deliver us from our sin problem. He came to us to identify with us. He did so without ever sinning, and He died on a cross so that He was the only one worthy enough to be the sin bearer, the one to pay the penalty of our sin. We have to convey that good news to people who need to hear. In the Bible, when Jesus dealt with people that were in sinful situations, what was His response? We've talked about this. He didn't say, "You dirty, filthy, rotten sinner, you're going to hell." He didn't say stuff like that. He didn't condone what they were doing. But He always offered hope and good news. The woman at the well, she was involved in some sinful stuff. And God offered her hope. He offered her the living water, a way out. And she embraced that. And she accepted the living water of Jesus that day. And her life was transformed. He shared good news. Jesus was always full of good news for people, unless you're a Pharisee. And He might call you a brood of vipers or a son of hell or something like that. But He was always full of good news for people. So we have to respond with love and forgiveness. Another thing we need to do, our response is to support crisis pregnancy centers. These great organizations provide women and men important information and resources when they're unsure about what to do in a difficult situation. They give real alternatives to abortion. They provide things like housing and clothes and other items for new mothers. And I heard a statistic recently that floored me. Is that 76% of women would prefer to parent and not abort if their situation was different. Get that. 76% would choose to parent instead of aborting if their situation was different. Finances or health insurance or housing. A lot of times they feel like there's no way out beyond doing this. And so they choose to abort. And pregnancy resource centers are a great help in this area. And we have some near us here in St. Charles. And if you ever need any information, please let me know, because I can get you that information. But we need to support these places and pray for them. Maybe even give to them financially at times if we feel led. But support crisis pregnancy centers. Another thing that we can do is support our ERLC. The Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission is a great resource for us as Southern Baptists. Their mission statement says this: "The Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission exists to assist the churches by helping them understand the moral demands of the gospel, apply Christian principles to moral and social problems and questions of public policy, to promote religious liberty in cooperation with churches and other Southern Baptist entities." And I will tell you that the ERLC of the Southern Baptist Convention are leading the way in the ongoing work since Roe versus Wade was overturned. I would encourage you to go check out their website to see all the wonderful things that our ERLC is doing. In fact, one of their initiatives is the Psalm 139 Project. The Psalm 139 Project, that verse that we just read earlier, helps make people aware of the life-saving potential of ultrasound technology in unplanned pregnancy situations. They help pregnancy resource centers, like the ones that are near us, to minister to abortion vulnerable women by providing ultrasound equipment for them to use. Now, these aren't just the cheap ones. These are the state-of-the-art 4D ultrasound machines. And to this date, The ERLC has placed 24 ultrasound machines around the country, and these are expensive. And so this project provides a way for motivated individuals to assist financially in the placement of these machines in qualified pregnancy care centers. Simply put, it's about saving lives. And as they place these machines around the country, and they will be the very first to tell you that their hope is to take even the thought of abortion away as an option in dealing with pregnancy. It shouldn't even be something that comes into a person's mind because of the way we love and support women in their time of difficulty. So that's what their hope is. So we need to support places like the ERLC and pray for them. And then finally, guys, we need to stand up even when it's unpopular. Remember the verse we read at the beginning? Let's read it again. Look at it again in Proverbs 24, 10 through 12. Sobering words. If you do nothing in a difficult time, your strength is limited. Rescue those who are being taken off to death and save those stumbling towards slaughter. But if you say, we didn't know about this, won't he who weighs hearts consider it? Won't he who protects your life know? Won't he repay a person according to his work? As I read those words, guys, let me just say, people are dying unjustly. And we see it happening. And what will our response be? You know, for some, the issue of abortion and women's choice is basically become a sacred cow. And I would say among some political people, abortion is their religion. It is the thing that they spend most time fighting to make sure that it's still there. It's their sacred cow. We've all heard the mantra, my body, my choice, blah, blah, blah. We've all heard the rhetoric from politicians and the talking points from all the pundits around. And guys, when we as Christians oppose such thing, yeah, we're going to be labeled and called all kinds of names because it's not popular in our culture to oppose abortion. It's not popular to be pro-life. And so we're going to be called names and we're going to be marginalized. We're going to be called things that we're not and be accused of things of not. And we're going to be called bigoted and things like that. But guys, let me just say, that doesn't mean we can just sit back because things get tough. Because we're not called to sit. And listen, we have a weapon that unbelievers don't have. I mentioned prayer earlier, and I'm going to mention it again. It's time for us to pray. That is our number one weapon against these things. It is time that we get on our knees and fight. And so we have to pray for our president, for our leaders of both political parties, for our Supreme Court justices, because there are more state decisions coming soon. And we have to also proclaim the gospel. Because guys, let me just say, we can make policies and we can make rules and we can make laws, but the gospel is what will truly change the heart of man. Amen? It's the gospel. That will be what truly changes the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. But we need to bring our pro-life convictions to the voting booth. We need to support and pray for pro-life pregnancy resources centers like we talked about, adoption and foster agencies. We have a great one here right in our backyard, the Missouri Baptist Children's Home. We need to pray for individuals like that. We need to speak out and speak up in love even when it's not a popular message. Doesn't mean we have to be a jerk, but we have to stand upon the Word of God. I was telling our Sunday school class, because our Sunday school lesson was, in a sense, about life and the value of life today. And I was saying that when Leslie and I go to conventions like the Southern Baptist Convention and the Missouri Baptist Convention, inevitably, there are groups of people there that are on loudspeakers yelling at everybody. And it could be about abortion. It could be about other things. And they're telling people about how sinful and they're going to hell and stuff like that. And you know, the blood is on our hands for abortion. I'm thinking, dude, we're all pro-life here. Why are you on the loudspeaker literally talking to people and preaching at people that in in theory, not in theory, but agree with you. We don't agree with your methods of how you're doing this, but we agree that, yes, life is sacred. And I don't understand that. And so that is not an effective way to get our message across, to go out and yell at people. That's not going to work. It's just divisive. But we have to stand upon the Word of God, and there is a way to lovingly point people to the Bible and lovingly point people to Jesus. There's a way to do that. Do I have it all figured out? No. But we have to lovingly have these conversations with people. This is what God's Word says. This is what God, how God views life. And that's what I'm going to stand upon. And that's what I'm going to promote. So we need to speak out and speak up in love, even when it's not a popular message. Guys, listen, as we kind of bring things to a close, I know this wasn't a fun sermon topic. It's a lot funner to talk about God's love and Jesus and some of the parables and stuff like that. But you know, we as Christians, we have to learn to take on the hard things. And we have to learn how to deal with the hard things. Because life is hard. Life is difficult. And we are confronted with things every day that cause us to have to make a choice. And so we need to be people of the Word and take on the hard things and confront the hard things with the love of God, the love of His Word. We got to uphold the truths of the Bible, even if it's not popular in our society. So let's uphold the sanctity of human life. Let's love our neighbors as ourselves. Let's love people and offer love and forgiveness to people who need it. Listen, God loves the brokenhearted. Amen? He loves the brokenhearted. That's the reason He sent His Son. So let's speak up for the sacredness of life, for the unborn, the marginalized, the exploited, the least. That's who Jesus was concerned about. And in doing so, we uphold the truth of God's Word. Again, when it comes to cultural issues, we must think biblically. It'd be very easy for us to cave in, to take the path of least resistance, to say, you know what, just for the sake of everybody getting along, we're just going to agree on everything and we're going to say that's okay. We cannot do that, guys. Either we believe God's Word or we don't. As we talked about in my Sunday school class this morning, God's Word is not a salad bar that we can pick and choose what we like and don't like. I like to eat at a salad bar, but I don't like to eat everything on it. Those creamy peas, I don't want that. If you like that, that's great. But God's Word is not a salad bar. We have to uphold it, all of it. And overwhelmingly, God's Word upholds life. He has a standard for marriage. He has a standard for men and women. That's what we have to stand upon, His Word. We have to be people of the Word. So I implore you today to put your faith and trust in that. Beyond that, maybe today you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus. Perhaps you've never made a decision to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And we always want to give people an opportunity to put their faith and trust in the Lord. The way that you do that is very simple. It's ABCs. We have the A's, which is admit you're a sinner and ask forgiveness and turn away from your sins. God already knows you're a sinner. You're not pulling anything over on Him. He already knows. It's for your own benefit. Admit that. I'm a sinful person. There's sin in my life. The Bible says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. We need to admit that and then turn away from it. And then we have to believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. That is the gospel. The things that Jesus has done for us. That's the gospel. We have to believe in that. But believing is not enough. We have to make a commitment. We have to commit our life to Jesus as our Lord and Savior to say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins as my Savior, and I'm going to commit my life to you as my boss, as my Lord. I'm going to follow you the best I can for the rest of my days here on earth so that I can spend the rest of eternity with you in heaven. And so you have to make that commitment. And perhaps today you need to make that commitment. Andrew's, going to come and lead us in a song of commitment. And perhaps you need to make a decision this morning to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Right there where you're standing, you can make that commitment to the Lord. You can pray in your heart and in your mind to make that commitment to Him. And so if you need to do that today, I would encourage you to do that. But if you need some help with that, I'll be here at the front. You can come talk to me, or you can fill out the Connect card in front of you and write down what decision you need to make or what question you have. Put it in the offering box as you leave out, and I will get that in contact with you, and we can talk about your spiritual decision that you need to make, the next step in your life spiritually, whatever. And we can deal with those things. But the main thing that we want to do this morning is to let God do business in our hearts, and that's why we have a hymn of invitation, okay? So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing and let God do His work. Father, we thank you today for the message of life that we have talked about. We thank you, Lord, that you love your creation. Lord, you made us in your image and in your likeness. That means we are worth something. Father, that number one should make us all feel pretty special, but number two, understanding that every life is sacred, every life is precious. So Father, give us the courage we need to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves, whether it be the unborn or those who are exploited or those who are marginalized the least, those who need our help. Give us the courage, give us the resources, give us the wisdom we need to stand up and take care of your precious creation. Father, we thank you for ministries and those who do the work day in and day out. We lift them up to you and we pray, Lord, that you would encourage them, give them the resources they need, so that they can do what you've called them to do. We pray for our leaders of our country, men and women who make laws and policies. Father, we pray for revival, for a spiritual awakening, for eyes would be open to your word and what you desire and what you feel is important. And I pray that they would make decisions accordingly. Father, we pray for those who need the gospel, that their eyes would be open, their hearts would be open, that they would understand the truth of the gospel. Father, for us here today, work in our hearts in the way that you seem fit. We commit ourselves to you now, and we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.